is Road to the Draft with Cal Toomey and Matt Edwards.
16 days to go until the 2017 NAB AFL Draft. You are listening to Road to the Draft on afl.com.au. Nat Edwards and Cal Toomey with you. Cal, how are you? Have you recovered from a massive derby day?
Righto. No, it was fine.
Well, you got me last week with my footy trip, so true. I'm just paying you back.
I was at derby day. Yeah, it was a good day.
Did you see any horses?
No, you're in the car park.
So any fillies?
No. It was a good day. That was a nice day in the sun. I actually got a bit burnt.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it's peeling on the top of my head.
Oh.
But I can't wear a hat, can I? You can't wear a hat.
Looks a bit gross.
If you're a man, you can't wear a hat at the races.
But there are. Some guys wear top hats.
No
top hat?
No. Saw some good alligator skin shoes. You see some great fashion at the races.
Did you wear socks?
Takes all sorts.
Changed the restrictions so you didn't have to wear socks this year.
Well, I've been there when people haven't been wearing socks before, I'm sure of it. But I wore socks. I always wear socks.
Good, I'm glad.
Pretty straight up and down, just the suit and tie.
Now, on to more important things. And I can't believe the draft is just 2 and a bit weeks away.
I know, it's scary, isn't it? Big couple of weeks coming up and we'll have it all covered on afl.com.au as usual. But yeah, it's come very quickly since the end of the trade period. Those last couple of weeks of the trade period, all the focus is on who's going where, and now it's on who's going where in a different form. We look at the draft and it's all about who goes number one and I guess the ripple effect from there. But yeah, it's all slowly coming together. I wouldn't say we have a great idea right at this point who's going where. It sort of starts to trickle out a little bit more with some confidence next week, I think, once the kids finish exams, once they start doing some more interviews with clubs again and some of that sort of thing sort of happens. But until then, we won't know for sure. Until the night, we won't know for sure. But certainly, 2 weeks out generally is a little bit too far to predict accurately where everyone's going. I think by this time next week, we'll have a bit of a better gauge.
Of course, your phantom form guide is still up at the moment, but you'll have your phantom draft on afl.com.au the day before, two days before.
So 2 weeks tonight, we'll have that one on the 22nd, Wednesday the 22nd, late mail version on the Thursday the 23rd. And of course, the week before, we'll have our final phantom form guide show with you involved as well, and top ranking the 30 best players in the country. So look out for that one. And while we're plugging, next week, Going Places is back. So
yes,
a couple of boys who we followed through the year will be featured in that. And Going Places, yeah, it's been good fun again.
We can't wait to see who you've been following / stalking for the past sort of 9 to 10 months or so. Just to give the viewers, or the listeners, sorry, some insight into how it all works. Over the next 2 weeks, how many phone calls do you make in preparation to them putting together your phantom draft?
Plenty. I think today I've spoken to, what time is it? It's only 1:28 we're recording at. It takes the mystery out of the podcast. You don't want to know what time it is on a podcast. It could be any time. It could
just
be anywhere.
Lunch.
Yeah, so today I think I've made about 12 or 13 phone calls so far. I'll probably make another 8 or 9 after this. But that's not an average day. It comes and goes. Sometimes you speak to everyone on one day, then give them all a break and maybe speak to them a couple of days later. So, look, it's hard to average it out, but it's certainly a lot. And everyone's trying to work it out similar things. Some clubs aren't that interested in who's going where. Some are. Some want to know what clubs are doing. Some don't really care. Obviously, you speak to people around the periphery as well. So, yeah, a lot of phone calls, but no one's sure. It's a matter of sort of taking something from here and taking something from there and then trying to piece it all together. And it is really like a puzzle that doesn't quite fit sometimes, but that's the fun of it, I guess.
Well, best of luck over the next 2 weeks as you sort of bring that all together.
Thanks.
For today, though, we're going to do some Q&A because we love everyone's questions.
Yeah, a lot of Twitter questions. It's like a Reddit, ask me anything.
Pretty much.
Except not everything. Just draft.
Don't ask him about Derby Day, just the draft. And you can tweet us, of course, at AFL Draft.
The first, well behaved.
I'm sure you were. I'm not saying anything. I didn't see any Snapchats. This first question is from James. What are the chances of one of Higgins, Constable or Clark lasting to pick 15?
Pick 15, of course, is the Lions pick, which they have late in that first round. Yeah, I think there's a strong chance one of them will be there, maybe even all three. Who knows? Strong in the sense that Higgins is a big chance to go to Giants at 11, West Coast 13, Adelaide, even at pick 12, could look at him. But I think at 15, the Brisbane Lions would have to look at him as a prospect. And and think that he could be too hard to pass up at that point. So he's in the mix. Constable is more likely to be available, most likely to be available at that point. The Swans have been linked to him a little bit at 14, but I think that'd be the top of his range.
Okay.
Hunter Clark is probably most unlikely to be available, I would have thought, of that group. Seems to be in the mix anywhere from sort of 8 to 14. St Kilda has been linked to him as well. You look at the other clubs in that sort of range, the Bulldogs, Carlton, Giants, Adelaide could look at him, West Coast as well. So I'd say Hunter Clark would be the least likely to be there, then Higgins, then Constable being the most likely. But one of them should be around that mark, and all of them would fit into what the Brisbane Lions are building, I think.
Indeed. Next question is from Sarah. How likely do you think it is that Darcy Fogarty gets to 12? If not him, who do you like for the Crows at that pick?
I think it's a good chance to happen. I think there's probably a couple of clubs who have shown interest in Darcy before the Crows will open their batting at 12. So I think the Giants will have a look at him at 11, Carlton at 10 as well. Carlton has been linked to him as their sort of pick three, and I'm sure they like him. I think that would be a little bit too early for Darcy, and I think other guys might just be a little bit ahead of him at that point. But North Melbourne's another club who I think are fans of Darcy Fogarty. Whether they jump at him at pick four, it could be a case of if their three top midfielders are gone, then they just have to go, well, we think Darcy Fogarty's too good to pass up at number four, so we're going to grab him. But I think the Roos certainly are considering him. We had Mark Finnegan, the Roos recruiting manager, on last week, and he was adamant that it won't just definitely be a midfielder at pick four. It could be someone else. So at the moment, you couldn't rate Darcy Fogarty as a midfielder. You'd have to say he's a forward more than that. So that means that he'd probably be the one that you think of would be in contention there. So, yeah, I think it's a good chance that he gets through to the Crows, but also there's a couple of clubs in there that I think strongly like him. Higgins is a chance as well for the Crows at pick 12. You know, look, they lost Charlie Cameron. He could come in and play that role. Nick Caulfield, Jared Brand is another tall who they could look at as well.
The 12th man in Oz, well, he's following in Sarah's footsteps here. He says, where does Darcy Fogarty go? Which you've kind of already answered. Could be the biggest bust or biggest steal in a while. I can't get a read on which, though. Bust or steal?
I don't think he's going to be a bust.
No.
I think he could be a really, really high-end player, and if not that, then he's going to be a very good player because he's got that footy gene in him, and you know that in the way that he plays and the physicalness, the aggressiveness, the approach to the footy, the long kick. You know, he's got all that sort of stuff already sorted. He might be the type of guy, though, who doesn't play much senior footy in his first year, though, because he'll need to adjust to his running. His aerobic base will need to lift, and I guess the training standards and all these sorts of things will have to continue to grow, but the club that picks him will be looking long-term and knowing that he's got some real growth and development left in him, even though he is already one of the physically most big and strong and ready-to-go players. So, yeah, Carlton, as I said before, GWS, Adelaide. The Saints, probably more unlikely than likely at that point. I don't think Collingwood would take him at 6. Yeah, I don't think Freo look at him at 5. So I'd say that those clubs that I mentioned before are the most likely.
The next question is from Salt and Pepper.
Oh, Salt and Pepper.
I love that.
What was that song, Salt and Pepper? Oh, the band.
Is it Push It?
Yeah, Push It. Yeah, Push It. I saw Salt and Pepper actually a few years ago at Good Vibrations. Yeah, went off.
Well, Salt and Pepper, big fans of the show. Thanks for listening in. Forget the Phantom. Who will be the next Dangerfield, Selwood, Fife, the best player in years to come? And I like this forward thinking by Salt and Pepper.
It's a good question. Selwood
bit
went,
hard to tell.
Selwood went in the top 10. Dangerfield went in the top 10. Fife was in the top 20. So they're not all bad players to begin with. Fife was obviously a gem picked by Freo. And, yeah, he's gone on to mega stardom. Well, Cam Rain is the obvious and easy one to predict given his match-winning ability. But I do think that Andrew Brayshaw looks a real role goal sort of certainty in terms of how good he'll be at the top level. I can't see him failing there. And Stevenson's got the star factor, I guess, that everyone is looking for and could really piece it all together to be a one of a kind type of player with his sort of mix of attributes. So those are three guys that you'd hope to look at and think, well, they can really have exciting careers.
In 10 years' time, this will make a really good Total Recall episode. And if you haven't checked it out, Total Recall on afl.com.au, we revisit drafts from the past and redraft them. And it's a very, very good show, so check it out if you haven't already. But it just makes me think of this.
It's getting better because you're on as host and yes. Matty's out.
Yeah. Matt Thompson out, Nat Edwards in. But check that out. Next question is from Kim. Who are some raw talents Kim. Hoping to go late in the draft that may that Port may look at.
Who's your favourite Kim?
Kim Jong-un.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought of
the
him.
First one.
I thought Kim Beasley.
Kim Beasley.
Or Kim from Kath and Kim, obviously. Yeah, Kim Clijsters.
I like Kim Clijsters.
Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian. Yeah, no, right. Not for mine.
Michael Kim, the swimmer. who are some prospects who Port may look at? Well, they start late, don't they? So they only begin the draft at number 46, having obviously gone on a bit of a draft pick purge over the past couple of seasons. So they have to start late, and Jeff Parker and his team will wait until 46 to see what gets through. Zach Bailey would be a great one if he did get through. Sort of half a local lad, having played in Adelaide this year, but also grown up in the NT. He's had a great season, really consistent. I think he's probably going to be gone by the time they start the draft. Jake Patmore, they could look at, a prospect who lost a lot of weight across the year to become a really consistent player. Okay. Bit of midfielder there. And someone late who they might look at as well is Noah Answorth, who we haven't seen much of this year. Unfortunately, after he broke his back in the early stages of the TAC Cup season, playing on Jaden Stevenson actually in a marking contest that at the time looked very innocuous, but was a very serious injury. And I think before that, he sort of shaped as a top 25 to 30 prospect, Noah Answorth. And obviously his brother Cade has gone through the system in recent years as well and won plenty of trophies playing for the Sandringham Zebras VFL side. So, look, there's some definite footy talent in the blood there, and he's a prospect who Port could look at late, potentially.
Ben would like to know, who have you heard linked to Carlton with 10? If Rayner slips, I think Clark Constable would be good fits. Would take Bonner. Two thoughts.
Thoughts. Yeah, linked to Carlton at 10 has been some of the names I mentioned before. Darcy Fogarty. Clark has been in that mix as well. Nick Caulfield potentially. Another one who could be in that sort of group is Lockie O'Brien. Left-footed midfielder slash halfback from the Bendigo Pioneers and Geelong Grammar. He's got the run and carry and sort of dazzle by foot that you would dream of as a recruiter. Yeah. So he's certainly a player who can give him some drive through halfback in the wing and also the midfield there. And a player who at 10, it wouldn't be too much of a stretch. At the start of the season, he was in the mix as one of those top three or four picks. His season didn't quite go to plan all the time, but did have some good games in there where he showed his traits. So they're sort of around the mark. I'm not sure Bonner's for them. I'm not sure about that, but yeah, I think there's just a little bit too much risk associated with them. However, the fact they've got two top 10 picks maybe makes them at number 10 if he's still there. Say, well, we've got a genuine lock-in gun at three. Maybe we look at him, Bonner, as our 10.
Do you see him as a top 10 pick now?
Nah. Probably. Do I see him going in the top 10 or do I rank him in the top 10?
Do you rank him in the top 10, first of all? No. And then do you see him, though, being potentially picked up in the top 10?
Well, it's potential. I think he's going to the draft, so he's obviously someone's nominated him, so I think he'll be going. Look, he's in the mix. He's in the mix. I see him more a little bit after that. I think you know, maybe the Giants at 11 have a look at him, maybe even a little bit further into the teens, Adelaide potentially. Yep. So, I don't think he gets in the 10, but it might not be too far off.
So we had Salt and Pepper before. Now we've got Justin Timberlake. JT.
Congratulations on the Super Bowl gig, man.
Yeah, great news. JT, who will the Pies pick at number six?
Number six. Well, I think that they'd love one of the midfielders to get through. And that could be Andrew Brayshaw or Adam Chera. The likelihood is that they probably won't, but there's a chance one of those do.
Yep.
And if they do, then I think that'd be a nice mix. Everyone's going, well, they have to take a tall, Well, they don't have to do anything. They could take one. Aaron Norton's probably the guy that they would look at, I think, if he does get through as a tall and get past Freo picks, and which is a chance. Freo could look at him at number five, given they've got 2 and 5 now. I don't think if Freo had just got number five, I don't think that Norton would have been in the conversation as much. But now that they've got pick two, they could take their midfielder at pick two. Luke Davies-Uniacke, could be Brayshaw. And then number five, they could stock up and say, well, let's bring in Norton, who maybe isn't ranked quite as high as number five. However, we can get our defence really sorted after grabbing Griffin Logue last year as well. So, yeah, the Pies are in a spot where they'll have to wait and see what gets through. But Norton is a guy who they have been linked to a little bit. Collingwood supporter growing up as well. I think he'd love to go there. I think he grew up actually sort of Frankston way until he was about 8 or 9 years old. So not a born and bred West Australian, so to speak. Darcy Fogarty, we mentioned before, should be available. A couple of interesting ones is that Nathan Murphy has been linked to Collingwood a little bit, but pick six for me seems maybe a touch high.
Okay.
But you never know. And Ed Richards as well is another prospect too, who has got some fans really early in the draft. We know about his family links to Collingwood, but again, I think number six could be a little bit high for him and maybe a bit of a stretch. So Jared Brand is another tall who has been linked a little bit to the Pies, but in an ideal world, I think one of the midfielders will get through to them, but that's what they'd be hoping for, I reckon.
We'll have to wait and see. November 24, of course, the draft in Sydney. Rico has tweeted in, can you see any surprises sneaking into the top four outside of Rayner, LDU, Dow and Chera?
Well, we mentioned Darcy Fogarty before, you know, having some interest from North, and also Andrew Brochure is the other one who could be in the mix there. So Stevenson has been linked to North, but it probably seems a little bit more unlikely, I think, at number four than the other guys. So Brayshaw is one that he could easily get into the top four. And to be honest, I mean, Stephen Canole in our draft combine wraps one of the days did mention Brayshaw as being in the mix for number one.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'd be that much of a surprise if he's in that top four. At this stage, it might be a little bit of a surprise if he does go number one,
yep.
But you know, he's certainly around that mark for a fair few clubs.
David would like to know, what will Essendon's strategy be with having only late picks, taking three or four selections?
Maybe late picks might work for them because they had a lot of early picks a couple of years ago and that hasn't worked out too well so far, apart from Darcy Parrish. So that was the 2015 draft. Maybe they'll go a little bit better this one with a couple of later selections. Look, three or four picks, inside midfielders should be the go, I think. Tom North could be a look probably where they start, which is sort of around the 40s mark. And look, it's going to be hard for them to know what's going to get through. They enter the draft, as I mentioned, at 48. So they had a great trade period and brought in those big guns there. And the pressure will be on for them to perform next year. A player who I like for them, maybe someone to look at, is Will Walker from Sandy. So he's played some good footy attack cup level and might be available later in the piece. So, and everyone asks, I mean, the question's fair enough to be asked, is where does Cassidy Parrish go and does he join Darcy at the Bombers? I think the best chance for that would be as a rookie more than through the national draft.
This next question is from Ken.
Ken
wants to.
Who's your favourite Ken?
Ken Hinckley?
Oh, that was quick.
Well, he's the only. Barbie and Ken. Obviously, Ken.
Who's another Ken?
Ken Bruce has gone mad?
I think I've gone mad.
There's not that many famous Kens, are there?
Ken, no. I'm really struggling. Ken. No, that's Frank Walker, mate.
Frank Walker from National Tiles, not Ken Walker.
I'll get back to Ken.
In the meantime, Ken would like to know, Chera, Caulfield, any other players looking like the next Pendlebury? Huh. Just to put the pressure on these young kids.
Okay. It's a good question. I would say, well, those two have been linked a little bit, you know, next Pendles. They always, it's funny when interviewing the kids, who do you think like you play? Like, oh, a bit like Scott Pendlebury and Nat Fyfe and maybe a little bit of Joe Watson thrown in. Hunter Clark has some Pendlebury qualities in the way he isn't especially quick, but he can use both feet to get out of trouble and very poised and pretty tough as well. So he's a player who, I think I did ask a couple of clubs, who's he play like? And they said, oh, well, you could probably throw Pendlebury in there in that sort of mix. But I can see why Chera has been linked to Pendlebury. Caulfield probably not so much. I don't see Caulfield more as a halfback than a midfielder. So Chera, the poise and the lack of real breakaway speed probably makes the Pendlebury comparison quite apt, and not to mention the really dark hair as well. So, yeah, Caulfield's more a halfback for me, though, than the Michael Hibbard mould.
Did you think of a famous Ken?
No.
Oh, fail. Oz Sporting Mind has tweeted in, who looks likely to go late/rookie that has pure speed and good tackling pressure, looking for the next Charlie Cameron? Could be an Adelaide fan here, Oz Sporting Mind.
All right, good question. Depends what stage of the draft you're looking at, I guess, because Jack Higgins, If this happens to be about the Crows and looking for a Charlie Cameron replacement, then Jack Higgins goes early. Obviously, Oz Sporting Mind wants to know who goes late or rookie who could be in that mix. Brent Daniels probably goes 30 plus. He's a small forward who can lay a tackle occasionally, but he's probably best with the ball in hand, as most of them are, to be honest. Most of the best players of their age groups are generally offensive players who don't focus too much on the defensive stuff as much as the offensive stuff. So that can come. Grian Myers will probably be gone in the first 30 or 35 picks. Not a huge tackler, but a great goal kicker. Really knows where the sticks are. Ethan Penrith is pretty quick and a great tackler and pretty tough as well from the Northern Knights. He's a prospect who could go late into the rookie list, so he might be one that you can look at there, but probably lacks a little bit of the polish of some of the other guys.
All right, this next question is from Morks.
Kenny Powers.
Kenny Powers? Did you just Google that?
No.
Okay, good. Good to see that you're really focused and thinking. Morgs would like to know, who do you think the Crows should / will target? Bit of a Crows thing.
Should they go for homegrown talent? It's hard for them because they have lost a fair few players. And
yeah.
I guess they'd say, well, we haven't lost as many. You know, it's probably overblown a little bit in terms of the players who've come home from there. And everyone loses players, everyone gains players. But they have lost some players who've left the city. Who they should target? Well, I think Fogarty at 12 would be hard for them to pass up. But that's not to say they haven't been courageous enough in recruiting decisions in the past to go beyond just local lads. We saw them go past Ryan Burton a couple of seasons ago. And this is a club that was one win off taking a flag. So they've obviously recruited really well over the past few seasons. Darcy Fogarty, I think at 12, is a good player. They're not a good fit for them. At their next, they've only got two picks.
Yeah.
So at their next pick, number 39, I have to wait and see who's there. Charlie Ballard's a player who could be available. Mentioned before, a tall midfielder, about 195 centimetres, very athletic. And there's a bit to work with there in terms of his versatility because at his size, he can honestly play on the ball. So I think he's probably going to be gone by 39, but there's a chance he's available and another South Australian there.
Brenton has tweeted in, who is your bolter and who is your slider from now to the draft in regards to the first round?
Well,
good question.
Good question. Bolters include Nathan Murphy, we spoke about before, Aidan Bonner, Andrew Brayshaw, and I think Ed Richards as well is probably considered one now. Harrison Petty's another guy who could break into that sort of top 20 to 25 picks who some people probably wouldn't have predicted. In terms of the slider, I think Sam Hayes is probably looking like that guy at the minute.
Okay.
We probably tell the same story every year in terms of the ruckman falling down the list, but last year it was Tim English. A couple of years ago, you know, Peter Wright was in the mix for number one, but ended up going number eight, which is not much of a slide per se, but still a little bit further back than most would have predicted at the start of the season. So Sam Hayes has the talent to be much earlier pick. He's a back-to-back All-Australian, best ruckman in it, goes forward and kicks goals and does that quite seamlessly. However, his endurance really needs to be worked on, and that's sort of been a knock on him across the year. And looking at some of the picks and how they sort of work out, I don't think he's going to go in the top 10, and I wouldn't be surprised if he sort of was picked somewhere early in the second round as well, because rucks are just that, or clubs are just that reliant, reluctant to use early picks on ruckman.
Well, it just seems that like these days they just recruit and trade for them when they're more mature, you know, and have grown into their size and into their craft.
Just let someone else do the 4 years of work and
exactly.
Then pick them off when they can't get a game or when they're second in line. So, yeah, I think that's probably the case. He looms as a bit of a slider there and potentially Lockie O'Brien as well. If the Blues don't look at him really hard at 10, he could go a little bit deeper on.
All right, Paul has tweeted in, can you see Coleman Jones getting to pick 42 for Fremantle, or what ruckman do you rate in that range?
Well, it's a good question after the back one, or the last one. West Coast and GWS potentially for Coleman Jones is that sort of 26 to 28 mark, where West Coast 26 and Giants have a couple of picks in there as well. However, West Coast have a couple of spots as well in the 30s. So look at those clubs. Maybe they need some extra backup there. Other rucks who will be in contention for a draft spot.
It's not that many, are they?
No, Lloyd Meek from Great Western Victoria Rebels. Tom DeConning, probably forward as well. Sam Hayes mentioned him, and Ned Reeves is another. I think Braden Crosley will probably most likely go to Gold Coast as an academy player there. So leaves some of the other guys there. Leaves Reeves. He could get a shot. He's a massive, massive unit in terms of his height. Obviously needs a little bit more work around the ground and these sorts of things, but they're not easy to come by, and maybe that's where Scott Jones, a ruckman from WA, as a mature age, could get a look in as well.
Joe would like to know, Norton at pick 5 for Freo, is that too high or is his upside good enough? Could he be better than Alex Pearce, Cox and Griffin Logue, who all play similar positions?
Well, athletically, he's a gun, and he probably had a better year than Logue did last year in terms of comparing draft years.
Yep.
He was an All-Australian. He played some terrific senior footy late in the season for Peel Thunder. So his upside is good enough, and there's still a bit to go in that. Look, he needs to improve his kicking, and that's, I think, a reality that most clubs would know about, given they've watched him so closely, and I think that's something that he would be working on as well. But he does generally know his limitations in terms of his kicking and just either plays it safe or handballs it off. But his intercept marking is terrific and the outstanding trait of his game. And I see him as a Cale Hooker type of player.
Okay.
And, you know, if Cale Hooker was in the draft and you knew what he was going to be, you'd still probably take him with a top 10 to 12 pick, wouldn't you? Because you can build a defence around him, or as we saw this year, he can push forward too.
Yep.
So Logue can play forward as well, so whether you'd be picking worrying about some of the other guys in that range, I'm not too sure.
Simon asks, which, if any, would likely be available at pick 12 for Adelaide out of Fogarty, Bonner and Clark?
Ooh.
Geez, the Crows fans are just coming out of the woodwork, really, on Twitter today.
Yep, they are. Darcy Fogarty, I think he's... Yeah, that's a good question. They all could be there. They all could be. And that would be a tough call between a couple of those guys. I'd take Fogarty out of that bunch. Probably just because I think his scope to be a genuine match winner and A-grade player is probably a little bit higher than the next one, who I think is probably Hunter Clark, and then Aiden Bonner, who's got a mix, but it would still be a fairly speculative call to take Aiden Bonner at that 12, I would have thought.
Keeping on the Adelaide theme, Matt wants to know, will the Crows pick Jackson Edwards at 39 to stop other clubs getting him?
No, I don't think so. If they really wanted him that much, they would have nominated him as a national drafter. Been nominated as the father-son rookie, obviously the son of Tyson.
Yep.
Crow's great. I think you get through to the rookie pick and they'll grab him there. I don't foresee another club jumping in and grabbing him later in the draft.
Paul wants to know, who will Hawthorn go for? Mm. A very simple question, and I didn't tweet it in. Thanks, Paul, though. For
they start the draft at number 43.
Yes, so pick 43.
Bit of a wait again.
They moved up one spot during the trade period.
Well, you never know. You could,
very exciting.
Could be the difference between
it could be.
Whoever and whoever.
Andrew Swallow was a pick 43.
There you go.
In his draft year.
Who was pick 43 last year?
Gosh.
Do your research.
who was pick 43 last year then, Cal?
No, that was your job.
Oh, it was my job. But you should know. You're the draft guru.
Well, you should. You should just know as well. Look, there's a couple of names in there who I think they'd have to look at, who could be in that sort of range. Joel Garner is a guy who has been linked as a sort of Luke Hodge type of defender. He's a halfback, left footer, pretty stocky in the way he plays and pretty solid player. Toby Wooler's a half forward, taller, medium half forward who really works hard across the ground and might be a Jack Gunston type of forward going forward. Trent Minot's a midfielder who can play off the flanks as well and is a pretty classy just in terms of the way he finds the footy. Jackson Ross is another one. Good extensions in terms of his just arms, and he's got a nice size and frame to him. I think you grow into a nice player there. And another one who he'd probably likely to be gone, but if he got to 43, would be a nice pick, would be Riley Stoddard, who I think probably goes in the first 25 to 30 picks. But you never know with this sort of range, because 20 to 45 is not a lot of difference.
Asava Radulaia.
Wow, there you go.
There you go, pick 43.
Did that just come to you?
It did. And then if memory serves me correctly, Miles Pahoki was 44. So it's the difference between Asava and Miles.
Oh. I hope Miles isn't listening. Pahoki, yeah. Asava Radulaia, a good couple
of
names there, though.
Asava Radulaia, the hardest name to pronounce.
And Miles Pahoki, yeah.
All right, next question is from Mars Bars.
Mars Bars. Yum. What's your favourite chocolate bar, Nat?
Twix.
Twix.
For sure. I love a Twix.
No.
The biscuit part of it, no. And then the chewy caramel on top, and then chocolate. What more could you want?
Cherry ripe.
No, I don't love cherries.
It's not about the cherries. It's just
well, it is
about the
because
ripe.
It's called a cherry ripe. No.
How much cherry do you think's in the cherry ripe?
Well, it's got that cherry flavour, which sometimes
it's not
tastes
cherry
like
coconut.
Panadol.
Cherry coconut.
No,
beautiful.
Not
put it in the fridge. Snap it open. Cold. Bang.
No.
Cherry ripe.
Twix for the win. All right, Cam Rayner. following the Blues on Instagram and liking some posts, not following Brisbane or Freo. Is there anything in that? Mars Bar's doing some really good stalking on social media.
I don't think there's much in that. No. Well, he follows me on Instagram, so maybe he's coming to play for my local footy team. No, I don't think there's much in that. In who can Grammarians follows.
For the win.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Ricky would like to know, will best available at pick 13 more likely be a tall or a non-tall, and where do you see Kelly and Stasevich going?
Okay, so for those who aren't aware, pick 13 is the Eagles' first selection. So I guess they're being linked to the West Australian boys for a start, Norton and Oscar Allen, and they're a chance to be available. Some of those guys, I think Norton's more likely to be gone. Oscar Allen's a chance to be still on the board, as is another tall in Jared Brander, who could slip down the order a little bit. Wouldn't shock me if Jared Brander slipped a little bit than maybe where some people see him. But look, it's probably more likely to be a non-tall because there's more non-talls at that end of the draft. That's the reality. Hunter Clark, Jack Higgins, Ed Richards, Nick Caulfield, your sort of class as a medium tall. All those guys would have to be in the mix, I think, for the Eagles at that spot.
And Kelly and Stasevich, where do you see
them? Oh, sorry. Tim Kelly, first mature age, I think he'll get picked. That could be anywhere from sort of 22 onwards. The Cats have been linked to him, and also West Coast has been linked to him. They have a bevy of second-round picks, the Eagles. So, and Stasevich is another one who I guess has a mixed opinion of him in terms of recruiters and where they see him. I think some see him as quite as athletic and exciting, and he did play a great game for WA at the championships upstairs at Etihad Stadium against Vic Country a little while ago, where he sort of took the eye a little bit more. So someone to look for there in that sort of 20 onwards.
Now, we've spoken about Andrew Brayshaw a fair bit, but Sammy wants to know, will Hamish Brayshaw get drafted?
Tough call. It's probably a 50-50 one at the minute. I think he's more likely as a rookie, if anywhere. But he's given himself a shot, and look, he has to be pretty proud of the way he's bounced back from last year being overlooked to come back and have a good season. So hopefully, for Hamish's sake, he gets a chance.
It'd be great to have three Brayshaws running around in the AFL. His next question is from Don.
I wonder how Angus would feel if Andrew goes number two in the draft, ooh, given Angus went number three.
You'd be a little bit ticked off, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I reckon.
It's just that brotherly sibling you'd have it on rivalry. Him forever. It's like enter scores. If your brother or whoever got a better enter score, you're a little bit ticked off. Mm. All right, Don wants to know, how will Charlie Spargo's injury affect his draft stocks?
You haven't seen much of Charlie for a little while. We haven't spoken about Charlie, out of sight, out of mind a little bit with that shoulder reconstruction that he suffered sort of midway through the championships there for the Allies. I don't think it'll affect him too much. I still see him somewhere from that sort of 25 to 45 range, and that's sort of where I've always thought he'd fit in. Maybe GWS look at him. If they don't take a small forward with 11, maybe they could look at him at 27 and 28, which would be ironic given he was part of their academy until earlier in the year.
Yep, be a good fit.
I think he probably starts his career as a small, dogged forward and eventually moves into the midfield. But look, Charlie's a really quality player, and I think he'd be a good fit for any side.
Daniel would like to know, where do you see Liam Ryan and Tim Kelly going? We sort of already alluded to where Tim might end up.
Yeah, Ryan's an interesting one there. I guess last year the question was, why doesn't he get drafted? Well, his running had to improve. He had to sort of make sure this is what he wanted to do. And I think this year has shown that this is what he wants to do. He wants to kick goals at the top level and dominate games there. So, yeah, West Coast, again, because of all their picks and their want at times to go for the local lads, should be in the mix there. But there's other clubs in the 30s and 40s, I think, will look at Liam Ryan for sure.
Cameron has tweeted in, hype around Oscar Claverino has died off. Plenty of criticism about his game. What's his draft range? Huge upside, could be a steal.
I think he probably goes 25 onwards, yeah. Look, there's tall players in that sort of bracket, including Sam Taylor's another one, Harrison Petty's another one, who tall defenders who could be in that sort of range, and Claverino's a guy who probably fits in there too.
Tommy has tweeted in. Thanks, Tommy.
He'll figure.
Who's your favourite Tommy?
Favourite Tommy? Ooh. Got a few friends named Tom, so...
Maybe one of them?
One of them, yeah.
Good. Seems...
A few.
Which one is your favourite of your friends? No. Seems the Blues will get one of Rayner, LDU, Dow at 3, but who would they be looking at with 10?
We've probably covered this a little bit already. There's a few names in that sort of bracket, and look, they should come away as one of the big winners of the draft, the Blues, because whoever they get at 3 will be a gun, and at 10 they should be getting a very good player too.
This next question is from CP Coolest Fox.
Pardon?
CP Coolest Fox.
We're on air. Cool as what?
Coolest Fox.
CP Cool as what?
As a fox.
As a fox.
You know those animals that
what
eat rabbits?
The fox say?
If the Tigers were somehow able to meet all of their list requirements and snag Naish, Hayes and Brander, what would your reach be in two words?
I think that's meant to say reaction.
I was like, your reach? That does not make any sense.
Very far.
CP Coolest Fox is changing the English language. Okay. If the Tigers were somehow able to meet all of their list requirements and snag Naish, Hayes and Brander, what would your reaction be in two words?
Oh, wow.
Coolest
Nice
Fox.
Work.
Coolest Tigers.
Good one. That'd be a great draft. Then, however, I think we'll lead into the next question. But yeah, Hayes, they'd have to look at with their 20s. Brander, they'd have to look at with their 17 and 20. I think it's a bowdy sort of spot there. Maybe if he gets through that first little batch of picks, he could dip a little bit and get through another batch. So he might be there for their first round selection. And he'd be a good fit given they need to build up their tools. But yeah, Hayes would have to be looked at. But he might not come into consideration until 25.
All right, thanks for that question, CP Coolest Fox. Nick wants to know, where do you think Naish will land and which pick will Richmond have to use?
Well,
everyone wants to know.
This is my sort of lead off the back one, yeah. The last question, because if they snagged Naish, Hayes and Brander, that would mean that it would have had to have made a matched a bid inside their first three picks,
yep.
So sort of 17, 20 and 25. The best result for Richmond will be if a bid doesn't come until after 25, so they've actually selected three players inside their 25, and then they can match a bid for Naish after that. And that's a possibility. I think that's a growing possibility,
yeah.
That they don't have to match a bid for Naish until after they've used three picks. So I still rate him as a top 15 player, but I get the feeling that given some of the clubs that are in that range and what they need and what they're after and the players that they usually draft, and the fact that it's beyond between Richmond's 17 and 25, Richmond have three of those picks,
yeah.
So they're not going to bid on them.
No. They're well placed, aren't they?
They're well placed. Look, the Bulldogs could have a look at him because they need some outside run and dash and class, which he is. If I have another person tell me that Patrick Naish isn't a good kick, then I'm going to lose it because he is a very good kick.
Someone tweet that in next week, please.
So I think it's a growing chance that he gets through their first three picks and they just get to match it with later selections, which would be an awesome result for the Tigers on the back of what's been an awesome year.
Kaiser would like to know.
Who's your favourite Kaiser? Chief.
Chief. Well played by you. You've been sitting on that all day. Can Oscar Allen slide to the Eagles' second round pick at 21?
Yep.
Good.
Could.
Thanks for that answer.
Unlikely, but could.
Okay. Andrew would like to know, do you feel that the AFL as an industry is mature enough for live picks, player swapping and an extended trade period when players in contract are able to move freely anyway? And should clubs be able to trade players anywhere like in the NBA?
You know what I do feel? I feel like Andrew's taking advantage of the 280 character limit on Twitter.
I don't even know how that fitted in one tweet, to be honest.
That was in one tweet. That's
incredible.
That's new Twitter. That was all in one tweet. So good on you, Andrew. You know what I'm sick of hearing about? The AFL maturity, the maturity of the industry.
It just is
what it is, isn't it? And every time there's a bit of a kerfuffle about a player, the AFLPA come out and say, oh, we've got to be more mature. Give me a spell. Anyway.
All right.
Give me a spell. I'm sick of hearing about it.
So, but you think we should have live picks and players swapping on draft
night? We'll be mature
on
enough.
Draft night.
I think we'll be mature enough. Everyone's grown.
Everyone can
grow
up.
They're grown people.
We can adults.
They're grown men and women and grown players. So I think they'll be fine with swapping an extended trade period right until draft night. Should clubs be able to trade players anywhere like in the NBA? Of course they should.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen though because the AFLPA will
stop to that.
We might get another threatened boycott or something. That's always good. That's a fun story to talk about.
A sit down during round one or
don't
whatever.
You love those stories?
That, I
know. They really preach to
it's
the
never
footy,
happened.
Really preach to the footy fans those stories. We all love hearing about an AFL protest.
All right, we've got two more questions.
You reckon I'm
to
over
go.
Maturity and
you're very mature, Cal Toomey. Ronnie.
Who's your favourite Ronnie?
Burns.
Ronnie Wood, Rolling Stones,
nice.
Easily.
Ronnie would like to know any whispers on picks 7 and 8. Who are the Saints looking at?
Well, Nick Caulfield's a name who keeps coming up and has come up for a long time for the Saints. I know that Alan Richardson did watch a game or two of the Northern Knights later in the season.
Yep.
So he's a chance for them. He sort of fits a couple of bills. He's quick. He can play in a few different spots. Pretty smart off halfback, but eventually I think he'll be a midfielder who can use his 190 centimetre frame and 2.9 second 20 metre sprint pace to good use in the midfield. So he's a name that keeps coming up there. I think it's probably a little bit too early for Jack Higgins, even though his name keeps popping up. Another guy who could be in the mix is local lad Hunter Clark.
Yep.
So there's a couple of guys who I think they'd be considering. Andrew Brasher as well, if he got through to 7 or 8, they'd have to be pretty keen on him, I'd say. So, and Jaden Stevenson's another who, with his pace and class and just ball movement, could appeal.
The final question for today, and thanks everyone for contributing on Twitter, is from Tex. Who are Geelong looking at with their first pick? Any chance Higgins slides?
Slides. Yeah, there's a chance. I think he probably fits more in the 10 to 20 bracket now. And Geelong's first pick is 22. I think if he was there at 21, though, West Coast would take him. And I think even at Richmond at 20 would probably take him. You look at Richmond and they've got a lot of small forwards already, but Higgins is a star, so you can't go overlooking talent too much. And he's probably a better player than a couple of guys that did play in that flag in terms of the small forwards. Needs to improve his pressure to the point where he can pressure like them, but that'll come. As for Geelong's first pick, look, I think Toby Wooler, it'd be a little bit too early for them, but they could look at Toby at maybe 35, which would be their third selection. Obviously, there's good family links there. His grandfather, premiership captain there, so there's a chance there. Also, Tom McCartan. I wouldn't be surprised if they jumped early on Tom McCartan at 22, 24. He's the younger brother of Paddy. Key forward. They probably need another young key forward.
Yep.
He's got a lot of growth and development left in him. He's a prospect, so I imagine he'll be finishing school next year. He's actually only in year 11 at the moment, so you've got to finish year 12 next year. And if he was able to do that in Geelong, just around the corner from where he lives, I think that would work well for everyone.
Very convenient.
I think the Cats would have to have a look at him. I'm not sure if they rate him right that highly, but they'd have to have a look at him in that sort of top 25 slot.
All right, that's it for the Twitter questions this week. Thank you very much, everyone who tweeted in. You can, of course, tweet us for next week's show at AFL Draft, or you can tweet Cal Toomey directly. It is now time, though, for your Song of the Week.
New beauty, Nat. Song of the Week, always my favourite part of the show, and probably no recruiter's favourite bit of the show. I've heard that recruiters turn off at this point.
Well, I don't know why they would, because it's just the highlight of every show.
No, I've had feedback that they turn off at this point of the show, which is a bit disappointing. But, you know,
it should be Road to the Song of the Week.
Well,
road to the draft.
I know a lot of recruiters are actually on the road at the moment and listening to our show, because they're on these long road trips doing interviews with kids out in countryside, Victoria, South Australia, WA, and they need something to listen to while they're all sitting in the car and, you know, fight over the iPod. So they just chuck on our podcast.
The wireless.
So, g'day to you guys in the car. The song of the week this week is The Kooks, Be Who You Are.
Yes.
Da, 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 da. Very kooky song from The Kooks.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, they're an English band that I think we all know and like, and it's a song that's about 6 months old, but yeah, I'm seeing him in a couple of months, and I've been listening to him a little bit more recently, and they're a cool band.
Well done. I enjoy that song of the week. You know, a suggestion I had from someone is that we should record a podcast, so Road to the Draft, actually on the road to Sydney to the draft. So instead of us flying to Sydney, we should get in a car and record a podcast of us for 8 hours in the car driving to Sydney. I don't know anyone who would want
that to
listen.
You?
One of the social media guys. Tyson. Just add him. Tyson.
Okay. He's not just one of the social media guys. He is
the social
media. We could do a real... Yeah, there could be like that... who went a bit crazy this year and did that? Katy Perry, didn't she? Didn't she broadcast, like, you know, 48 hours of her life or something on Periscope?
Would anyone actually care or listen to us
Katy
for
Perry
8 hours?
That. Yeah, she went. She had this big sort of promotion stuff.
What would your number one song be on a road trip?
Something by Oasis, probably.
Yeah, good call. All right, thank you everyone for tuning in to the podcast
this
week.
Next week, Big week on the show because we've got Mick Ablett, the AFL Academy's development manager. We're going to do a mock draft.
Yay.
Based on club needs.
Woohoo!
Top 30 picks. Who should take who? And then the week after, that's draft week. So we're almost there.
It's crazy. For all of your draft news, don't forget to head to afl.com.au. We'll see you next week.